would like to join me in opening a copy of God's Word this morning. We're going to be continue to look at Colossians, the letter of Paul to the church in Colossae that we began last week, looking at oftentimes I'm tempted to just skip, kind of really, really quickly read through the opening greeting and get to the meat of the letter. And we hopefully saw how important it was to really understand why Paul says what he says at the beginning of this letter in verses 1 and 2. I tried to show that the significance was in the fact that we should care about what Paul has to say, because ultimately what Paul has to say is a source with God, because he is an apostle. And if we listen to an apostle, that means that we are seeking to honor God, because an apostle is an authorized and authoritative messenger of God to proclaim the gospel. And we can also honor not only God the Father, from whom we receive grace and peace, as Paul says, verse 2, but also we honor the Son, because we know that the apostles were sent by God the Son, by Jesus. And so we honor not only God the Father, who sent Jesus, but also we honor Jesus, who sent the apostles. This train of relationship and authority and sending. And we honor God the Father and the Son as we listen to the words of the Apostle Paul this morning, where we're going to look at this next section where Paul gives thanks to God, not only for sending his word, his gospel, the Lord's truth and grace, but also he gives thanks for the work that this word has done in the hearts and lives of these young believers in Colossae. So this is the first part of the letter in which Paul oftentimes will give thanks, and it's particular that he's giving thanks to God for the work that God has been doing in the life of these believers. And so, just a reminder, whenever, I think we're on safe ground to assume that whenever they first received this letter from Paul, about 2,000 years ago, that they would gather as a church, and they would read it out loud, and read it all in one sitting. We're not going to do that this morning, but I do want to kind of capture a little bit of that by bringing us back to verse 1 and beginning reading there and then stopping at verse 8. So look with me, if you will, beginning in verse 1, chapter 1 of Colossians. This is God's word through the Apostle Paul for us this morning. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ who are at Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father. We give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you have for all the saints, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven, of which you previously heard in the word of truth, the gospel, which has come to you, just as in all the world, also it is constantly bearing fruit and increasing, even as it has been doing in you since the day you heard of it and understood the grace of God in truth, just as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow bondservant, who is a faithful servant of Christ on our behalf. And he, Epaphras, also informed us of your love in the Spirit. This is the word of the Lord. May he bless the reading and hearing of his word this morning. Let's go to him and asking for his help this morning. Our Heavenly Father, as the Apostle Paul, we give thanks to you as well, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for your word of truth. We pray that you would gift us with the faith and love mentioned here. That we would have faith and love as a result of the hope that you have laid up for us in heaven. Fill us with your Spirit, we pray, that we might not only understand your grace and truth, but we would continue to bear fruit of your Spirit all throughout our lives for your glory, for your honor, and for your praise. Through Christ we pray. Amen. Well, besides this letter this morning, if you have read the New Testament, you've read a lot of Paul's letters. One of the letters that Paul sent besides this one is one to the church in Rome. The church in Rome. And one of the main points that Paul makes at the beginning of that letter in the church in Rome is that one characteristic sin of unbelievers that we have against God is having a heart of ingratitude toward God. A heart of ingratitude is characteristic of unbelief. He writes in, Paul writes in Romans chapter 1 that we all worship something, that we were created to worship. And if we're not worshiping God, there's something else that we value in place of God. And because of our sin nature, we choose to worship the wrong thing, Paul says. Paul says in Romans chapter 1 that although unbelievers know God, they did not honor him as God. What else did they do? He says, they did not give thanks to God. But they became futile in their thinking. Their foolish hearts were darkened, where they exchanged the glory of an immortal God for images and idols resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. In our passage this morning, Paul is giving us a wonderful example of what it looks like to have a transformed heart, spiritually speaking. That one characteristic of a sinner saved by grace is not ingratitude, but in giving thanks to God. Recognizing that God is the source from whom all blessings flow. That's what Paul's doing here. So this is the main point I want us to focus on this morning, is that because God is so gracious, you and I are to follow the Apostle Paul's example in giving him thanks. Giving him thanks. Because God is so gracious, you and I are to give him thanks. And the reason that we see Paul giving thanks to God for the Colossian Christians, is because of their faith, because of their hope, and because of their love. Their faith, their hope, and their love. And what we saw last week at the end of verse 2 is that Paul makes the point that God the Father is whom we receive grace and peace from because of the work of his Son. And you know, even a child, well, you try to teach your child this, but even a child recognizes the fact that if somebody gives you a gift, who are you to thank? The giver of that gift. And so that's what we see Paul doing, beginning in verse 3. Paul writes this letter, and in the very beginning gives a prayer to God of thanksgiving for the spiritual life that he has heard reported to him from Epaphras. And we learn in Philemon that Epaphras is a fellow prisoner of Paul who ministered to the Colossians. And so Paul is writing this prayer of thanksgiving, saying, we give thanks to God. And he says we because I think he's at the very least writing on behalf of Paul himself and Timothy, his fellow minister, and maybe others who are with him. He says, we give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you since we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus. And since without faith, without works, faith is dead, Paul also goes on to say that he gives thanks to God for their love, the outworking of their faith. He says, we give thanks not only for your faith, but for the love which you have for all the saints. And this is a particularly important issue in Paul's day because a lot of these new churches, one of the big issues was this division that was happening between those who were Jews and those who were non-Jews. All of a sudden, you're getting them together, and it's not working out too well, oftentimes. We know in Acts that some of the women were being overlooked, and that was seemed to be intentional in some sense. But he's saying here, I can see the Spirit's work in you. I give thanks to God for your faith, and not only your faith, but the love that you show to one another. I think Paul is highlighting the fact that the church in Colossae is a wonderful example of the binding and unifying love that comes from God, that binds the people of God together, no matter what your past is, what your past differences are. The Bible says we are a new creation. We are one body, one bride. We are one church. So Paul gives thanks to God the Father for their faith and their Son and the Son. Paul gives thanks to God the Father for the love that they have for one another. And I think about this enough, but this point that Paul makes next, I think it's good to reflect on, meditate on, chew on. Paul is making the point next that the fact that what we place our hope in affects our lives. Paul's making the point that one of the effects of placing our hope in the life to come produces robust faith, a unifying love. Paul is saying that the hope of glorification, the hope of getting to heaven and being free from sin and death and Satan, this hope we will experience as Christians one day in heaven is one of the motivations for trusting Christ, for living for Him. Or as one translation puts it, verse 5, your faith and love have arisen from the hope laid up for you in heaven. Our hope is based on the unchanging promises of God. Like Paul says at the end of verse 5, he says, we've heard of your faith, your love, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. And how did the people come to know about, how did the people come to have hope to begin with? He says, you've previously heard of these things in the word of truth, the gospel. Imagine if they heard the gospel and that there was no hope of heaven, no hope of forgiveness of sins, no hope of healing, nothing. You think people would trust in a message of the gospel that Christ died for you, but then there's no result? No. You wouldn't go to the doctor and he'd prescribe you medicine. And he says, well, you know, there's not any really hope of you. You know, it's basically a placebo and telling you it's a placebo. And no. The point that Paul's making here is that the reason that you continue to trust, the reason that you continue to love one another, your lives are transformed is because of the hope that you have in Christ. The hope we have of forgiveness of sins and an eternal glory in heaven changes how we live now. And I think that's the point Paul's making, and I think it's helpful for us to continue to meditate on. The hope Paul speaks of is one of a glorious and eternal life with God laid up for us in heaven. And it's a hope because it hadn't been realized yet. You know, many of you have had cancer and have beat it. And if I were to guess, one of the things that helped you overcome cancer was the hope that you had of life after being healed from it. You know, assuming all things go well. That's similar to the point that Paul is making here. Part of the reason why you and I can trust in God's remedy for our sin sickness is because there's hope. There's hope in the remedy. Part of the reason why you and I should trust in the healing work of Christ is because He offers us hope of eternal life. So in that sense, Paul is giving thanks to God because God has gifted this hope. God has gifted this hope to the Colossians. God has gifted not only to the Colossians, but to us today. It's the same exact message. 2,000 years ago, God is still using it to save people like you and me today, giving us hope, giving us the gift of faith, giving us a love that we otherwise wouldn't have, all guaranteed because we have, as Paul says, the grace of God in truth. That's what the gospel is. It's a truth bringing to us the grace of God in his Son. Paul gives thanks for their faith, hope, and love, and so too should we. We recognize in one another faith, recognize in one another hope and love. Not only should we obviously give thanks to one another, but ultimately our thanks should be to God because he is the source of all of the blessings we enjoy, spiritual and otherwise. And I think it's also helpful to remember that one of the reasons that Paul writes this letter to begin with is to correct some teaching that these Colossian believers are being tempted to believe that distort this hope, that distort the message of the gospel and twist it by either adding to it or taking away from it, saying that Christ's work wasn't enough. There's something I need to do in order to bring about salvation in my life. So Paul is reminding them, and he's reminding us today to rely on the truth that you have heard from the apostle, from Christ. Because if you distort the gospel, your salvation is at stake. If you take away or add to the gospel, if we change something about God's free grace to us in the gospel, then we are tempted to thank somebody else. We're to worship somebody else for what God alone should be praised for. We say, glory to God alone for our salvation because it's God who does the work of salvation in his Son, gifted to us by his Spirit. So because God is a gracious God, you and I are to thank him. And we, like Paul, should give thanks to God because of the gifts of faith, gifts of hope, gifts of love that we enjoy even today. And the second thing I'd like us to see in this passage is that we give thanks for these gifts because they're ultimately gifts of his Holy Spirit. Gift of his Holy Spirit. There are a few passages in the Bible that name all three persons of the Trinity together in a short section. The Bible makes clear that our salvation is accomplished by all three persons of the Trinity, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And this passage is one of them. You might have picked up on that, that Paul mentions God the Father, the faith that the people have in God the Son, and the love which they show to one another all in the Spirit. This is one of the few passages of Scripture that name all three persons of the Trinity and give us a taste of what it's like, what God has done for us, and the Father planning, the Son accomplishing salvation, and the Spirit applying the work that the Son has done. The Bible makes very clear that our salvation is a result of an outpouring of the love of the Trinity. The love of the Trinity. How do we know this? Well, we see it not only in our passage this morning, it's a little more implied, maybe a little more explicit with the Spirit. But think of John 3:16. What love is shared there? Who shares it? Well, God the Father, in love, sent the Son. God the Son, in love, has earned salvation for us. It's what John 15 and Romans 5 is all about. Jesus says, as the Father has loved me, Jesus says, so I have loved you. And Romans 5 says, God God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners. How does God show his love for us? How does Christ show his love for us? That he died for us. Salvation is a result of an outpouring of, sharing of, the love, eternal love of the Trinity. The Father sending the Son giving himself. In obedience, loving obedience to the Father. And then the Spirit shares the love of the Father and the Son, as Romans 5 tells us, shares it with us. God's love has been poured out into our hearts. How? Through a person. Through the Holy Spirit, God's love has been poured out into our hearts. That we might come to know God. That we might come to know and experience his divine love, saving love, that leads us to give thanks to God, just as Paul did here. That's what Paul was a messenger of. The love of God, grace of Christ, fellowship of the Spirit. And part of the reason that Paul gives thanks to God in verse 8 is because he has heard of the love of this church in the Spirit. In the Spirit. As far as we can tell, Paul did not visit the Colossian church, probably in part because from what we know about this letter and others like it, that Paul wrote letters from prison in Rome to encourage the church because he was so limited in what he could do. But he prayed and he wrote letters. He ministered to those around him. But verse 8 tells us that Epaphras told Paul and others about their love in the Spirit. Epaphras was the one that brought the gospel, from what we can tell, was saved under Paul's ministry in Ephesus, and then he brought it to the surrounding towns of Colossae and Hierapolis and others close by. And it says that Epaphras is telling Paul about the Colossian church, and Paul is writing to them, trying to help them and encourage them. And what do we see Paul encouraging them in? And what do we see Paul giving thanks to God for? The fruit of the Spirit, which is the very first one in the Galatians 5 is what? Love. Love is not only an inward care and affection. Love is not only a concern for somebody else, but it's actually doing something about it. And I thank God for y'all. Just as Paul thanked God for the Colossian church, I thank God for Sandlake Church. Because of the love that y'all have in the Spirit toward one another. I think y'all are good at showing this love in many different ways. And you do it to people that you don't even hardly know. I thought this past week of Linda McCord, who recently passed away. Many of you did not know her very well, including myself. We only had a few conversations together. But you still wanted to honor her. You still wanted to love her family. You stepped out to help with her memorial service, provide food and prayers. I think that's the unique love of the Spirit made manifest. Where we care for, we work for the good of other people that we otherwise wouldn't care about or love. The love of the Spirit brings us to love people maybe we don't even like. But we love because God loves. God has first loved us, so we share in that love. We love people we otherwise wouldn't love if it weren't for God's grace working in our lives. That's a testimony of God's grace is who we love. I was reminded of Linda McCord, and I wanted to share a part of a letter that Linda's family wrote to you. They said, "Dear brothers and sisters of Sandlick, thank you for your love and care for my family and my mother over the past months. You have all been a tremendous blessing. I cannot thank you enough for what you did to make my mom's funeral very special. My mother's last years were not easy. Mom's time with you was short, but in the few weeks she was at your church, she heard the gospel proclaimed, and you loved her well. Rides to church, Sunday lunches, even helping with her driveway, were all used by the Lord. We give thanks and praise to God. Sound familiar? We give thanks and praise to God for what He did in my mom and for how He used the members of His body at Sand Lake. Why would Linda's family give thanks to God? Why would Paul give thanks to God? Well, we give thanks to God even for the good things that we do to one another, because without Him, we wouldn't know love. Without God, we certainly wouldn't show love. If the love of God in the gospel is the only thing that melts our cold and spiritually dead hearts, and if the Spirit of God is the only one who pours out the love of God in our hearts, then it should affect how we pray. One of the many things it should affect is how we pray for one another, how we pray for the lost. Not only is God to be thanked in our prayers, because it's the source of all blessing, but when we pray for other Christians, we ought to ask God, the Spirit, to increase fruit, to increase faith, to increase our hope, increase our love for one another, that we would be more like Christ, even where we love one another to the point of sacrifice. So we pray and ask for the Spirit's help. And we also pray when we pray for non-Christians. We pray for God the Spirit to be at work in those who don't have faith, don't have hope, don't have love. Why? Because God is the source of all spiritual blessing, of all faith, hope, and love. Not only when we should give thanks to God when it does come about, but when it hasn't come about yet. Because He's the source, He's the one to be asking and praying to. And we are to pray all the while knowing that the only way anybody can come to know the same saving love of God that you and I have experienced, maybe you haven't experienced it this morning, but the only way you can come to know the love of God is in the gospel. That's why church is unique. That's why we as a church have a laser focus on God's word, because we know the value of knowing God in the gospel. That's why we as a church support other gospel ministries. There's a lot of good things we could support with if we have more money than we need and we want to help. There's a lot of things we could help with. But we have the conviction here of the value of God's word, and our role as a church is to support other gospel ministries that are bringing God's word to bear and bringing that hope. And this is a unique responsibility of the church. No other institution compares to the church in that through the world comes to know the love of an eternal, infinite, unchanging God. Through the church, the world comes to know the incomparable love of God in the gospel. And that is a special task, responsibility, and privilege of the church. And affects how we should pray. Because God is gracious, you and I are to give Him thanks. Like Paul, we should give thanks for the gifts of faith, the gift of love, the gift of hope. And we are to give thanks for these gifts, knowing with thankfulness that it comes from the Spirit who continues to work in our lives, the lives of our children, our family members, throughout the world. Because God is so gracious, you and I are to give Him thanks. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and the name of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we Thank you that in love you sent your Son. In love, the Son lived in a perfectly obedient life. He died a death that we deserve. And he's been raised from the dead to give us and lay for us hope in heaven. Hope of final and full salvation from sin. The wrath that we deserve for our sin, all because of what Christ has accomplished. And we thank you for your Spirit that pours out in our hearts that we would experience and enjoy the love of God, his redeeming love, that we would be drawn to you and fulfill why we have been created and enjoying you and glorifying you because all of what you have done for in creating us and redeeming us. So we pray for your help of your Spirit now as we prayed at the beginning, that you would not only help us to understand, that you would take and bury these truths deep in our heart, that we would see wonderful things in your word and be convicted and encouraged and built up to obedience. Because we want to love you back, and that's the way Christ tells us that we are to love you by obeying your commandments. So we pray for your help to do so in full faith, in full hope, and full love. Through Christ we pray. Amen. Well, if you would please stand for our next hymn as we sing and worship and thanks to God. Christ has made our